You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, friends. Pura vida. Does that give away where I'm coming to you from this week? Pura vida, for those who struggle to roll their R's, is what they say here in Costa Rica. I have a good buddy who has a good buddy from Nicaragua, whose name is Jairo. And his friends, where he's from, in San Juan del Sur, they call him Jairo. But my buddy, who refuses to roll up his R's, says Haido. Haido, which I think doesn't sound right. But I think for some American men, this is my theory, I think rolling their R's, they may as well be imitating a fruit cup, because trying to roll their R's is like talking with a lisp or something. That's how strong the aversion to it is. And I've talked about before how I'll test a German or a Dutch or something to see if they can make the TH sound, and usually they can't. Isn't that interesting? So my daughter, she likes this elevation worship song that goes, Jesus, what is your name? You deserve praise. She sings it about as pretty as I just did. And if you've ever heard a kid who just started singing, they have no idea what they sound like to other people. They think they've got opera level vocals, and it's real loud, and it probably wouldn't sound good to you, but it's beautiful to me, of course, because the same way parents tend to love their kids' laugh, it's hard not to love it when your kids sing. It's one of the sweetest sounds there is, whether they're singing or laughing. You made this human who is having this joyous moment of unbridled laughter or just singing at the top of her lungs, and it's one of the best parts of my day, as long as she doesn't do it all day. Anyway, I started singing it too, as she sings it, this worship song. I started singing, what is your name? Jesus, you deserve praise. And I'd sing it like she does. And she started correcting me, saying I wasn't singing it right. And then would try to explain to me that I was singing it wrong. And we couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting it right. And she finally says, you're singing it like a kid, but you have to sing like a grown-up, because you're a grown-up. So I go to my wife and sing it, and she laughs hysterically because I can't figure out what it could be possibly that I'm getting wrong. It sounds like, what is your name? You know, what else could it be? And my wife is like, use context clues. What do you think they'd be saying? And I didn't know. I had to give up. But what she's singing is, worthy is your name. But she can't yet make the TH sound, so it sounds like, what is your name? And this, again, might be my selfish parenting. I don't have the heart to help her say worthy correctly, because I know she's not going to be the first American girl at 14 years old who can't make the sound. So I selfishly enjoy how cute it is now, knowing she'll grow out of it. The best was when she first started talking. She would speak in these long sentences, which was great. I love an early talker, but the way that she'd connect the sentences she was saying was with the word cubus. And it took us a little while to realize what she was trying to say. She was saying cubus instead of because. And since we thought it was so cute, we refused to correct her. And then one day she said because, and we looked at each other like, oh, you know, there goes cubus. We'll never hear it again. So it's the same with what is your name. She'll be singing it correctly soon enough, but I want to hold on to the way she sings it for a while because I love it. Yesterday was our first full day here. I went to get us coffee and croissants at a local coffee shop. I was wearing black Lululemon shorts. I'll tell you why here in a second. As if I needed a reason, right? You're not the boss of me. I don't have to tell you what I'm wearing. But I was wearing Lulu. Speaking of fruit cup, right? Saying I'm wearing Lulu. Now I know why my friends refuse to roll their R's, because, I don't know, saying I wear Lulu, it feels like I just shaved my legs or something. But I go back to the condo where we're staying, which is, we're staying in the best high-rise in all of Punta Arenas province. You see what I did there? And we love it here. Big, big thank you to my buddy Dano, who probably doesn't know the extent to which, or should I say, he can't know what he's provided for my little girl. Our family, we were more excited to come here to the beach and see turtles. And Aria really wants to see monkeys. So if she sees giant turtles and monkeys for the first time, she will remember this trip forever. She's already seen surfers. We walked out on the balcony the first day, the first morning, and she said, "Daddy, are those real surfers?" Yes. But yeah, so we were more excited for this trip than we were to go to Europe. So big thank you to my buddy Dan. I say this a lot, but nobody has better friends than me. I truly feel that way. My friends mean way more to me than money. But where was I? Oh, I was talking about wearing black shorts, getting coffee, getting croissants for me and my lady. And afterward, we go home to our breakfast to eat and sit down and eat breakfast. And we decide, let's go jump in the ocean. So I go to put on a bathing suit, which, well, my wife actually feels like that's a girly way to say, I guess swimming trunks might be the tough guy way to say it. I don't know. But yeah, swim trunks or something badass, right? Anyway, I won't bore you with all the details, but I have two pair of shorts that look exactly alike. And the reason I have two pair is that Lululemon is excellent about giving you a new pair if you have a hole in your shorts. So they sent me a new pair and I got to keep the old pair, and the hole's not that big. So I'm not going to stop wearing them just because one random person might see that I've got bubblegum in my shorts. The guys who say swim trunks, y'all know what I'm talking about. So that afternoon, after we've showered and stuff, we go to leave the house for lunch and I can't find my wallet. So I look everywhere, all over the condo, looking under every pillow, under every piece of furniture, look through the rental car, no luck. I cannot find my wallet. And I remembered the only place that I had been that day was this coffee shop. So I meet the owner, tell him I can't find my wallet, and this was the last place that I had it. And he was a good dude. He pulled up his phone and started looking at the videos from the surveillance cameras. And he could see if maybe I dropped it or somebody snagged it from my pocket or I left it on the counter or whatever. And as we were looking at the videos, I told him how much I appreciated him doing this for me. And I asked when was the last time that he was asked to do this for somebody. And he looked through the surveillance videos and he showed me, oh, look, it was just 2 to 3 days ago. And I said, oh, why were you doing that? And he said that the police were there to view all the surveillance footage because there was a murder in Capos a week ago. Now, Capos is just an hour drive south of here. So he was trying to help them solve the murder because the car they used was parked in front of this coffee shop a few hours before the murder took place. So Capos, that's where Manuel Antonio National Park is. It's about a 2.5 hour drive south of San Jose. And this couple, they were from Europe. The man was German. The wife was from Austria. And they hoped to live a quiet, peaceful life in Costa Rica. They moved here in 2022. And they did live a quiet, peaceful life, I imagine, for a few years, sadly. But they were found buried in bags on their property that they had just bought. And they still haven't found the guys who killed them. And the couple, the guy at the coffee shop told me they were trying to sell their house and these two killers posed as buyers, which is very sad. We actually looked at buying a house in Capos the year we were married. This was 2018. And crazy enough, the realtor who showed us around, I tried to refer a buddy to him to work with him about a year later, and I couldn't get a reply. Well, his partner, who I had met the day that I met him, finally got back to me after I double emailed him. I was like, hey guys, where you at? And he said that my realtor had passed away. And I don't know that story, but I don't know if he was sick or what, but he wasn't much older than me. So to finish this story, it isn't my best, I realize. I decided I'd wear shorts, even after taking off my shorts, to try to put on something I could swim in. And so I decided, you know what, I'm not going to dirty my bathing suit for just a quick swim in the ocean, and then it'll have to dry. So I put on another pair of shorts. I accidentally changed into the other black shorts, so that's where my wallet was. So all that to say, speaking of wallets, I'm talking about money now. So And why do I talk about money so much? Because the late and great Zig Ziglar said that money isn't everything, but in terms of needing it to live, it's reasonably close to oxygen. So we're going to talk about money. Let's start with inflation. Core inflation held at 2.9% in August. Personal income and consumption expenditures both rose by a little bit. And the personal savings rate in America is 4.6%. So if your savings rate is 5% or more, congratulations, you are saving more than most. Goldman Sachs recently cautioned against what is referred to as a Goldilocks stock market, which it says is being kept afloat by AI and tech optimism, but said that it may face risks from growth setbacks, lack of Fed rate cuts, or a declining dollar, as the S&P is again nearing all-time highs. The UN General Assembly proposed something about international AI oversight, because of course they did. The fact that the General Secretary would push for global governance of AI, I think, is to be expected. Commies are going to commie, you know what I mean? But the U.S., rightly, in my view, dismissed those proposals in favor of national sovereignty. Nationalists are back. How unreal was the crazy propaganda in America that they had more than half the country thinking nationalism was a bad word? That propaganda worked really, really well. Corporate media, other leftists, they all wanted you to fear Christian nationalism. They killed two birds with one stone on that term, right? Because being Christian is bad and being a nationalist is bad, and put them together, it's way worse, right? So one thing the globalists are never called is dumb. Conservatives might call them a million other things, but dumb or stupid, they are not called. Why did the global communist community want the world to think Christians and those who are proud Americans or even proud Germans or proud Japanese? Well, not Japanese. They don't care about Japan. They knew the Japanese wouldn't buy into their bullshit. But Canadians, yes. British, of course. But not Japan. Which, that leads me to simulation evidence number 12,792, if you're scoring at home, or if you're alone. If what they did with regard to Christian nationalism was brainwashing, what they did to people by repeating this message enough while using it in a negative context, that's how brainwashing starts. If they brainwash people so that they could launder money, and so far, many of them have come out of it with clean hands. Is that not the simulation winking at us? You brainwash so you can launder and come out with clean hands. Wink, wink. Was Christian nationalism a label effectively weaponized and deployed against the people, against populism across the entire West? The answer, yeah, probably so. Let me read you to the definition of Christian nationalist. I have it here. Christian nationalism is a form of religious nationalism that focuses on promoting the Christian views of its followers in order to achieve prominence or dominance in political, cultural, and social life. In countries with a state church, Christian nationalists seek to preserve the status of a Christian state. Yeah, the intelligence agencies are not dumb. You ever think how smart the social distance thing was? You lock everybody in their house where people are going to be on their phones all day, and then you strong arm and pressure, even threaten the social media companies into censoring your political opposition. So then you have the media, you have the tech companies, and the only place everybody's eyes can go since they're locked in their home is on the television or their phone, and they were ideologically captured. You have a president who can't campaign. He's too feeble, so you put him in the basement. So he's socially distanced. And if he does a rally or event, you socially distance the 12 people you pay to show up. And then the media, the media is going to tell you that their guy's got so much energy, he's running circles around our staff, just stuttering in everybody's face, right? I'm not even talking about all that. But when it was time to vote, think of this. Being socially distanced made the lines look long at the polls. Like they do at the club, to make it look popular, they maintain a long line at all times. And that helps to what? Create the illusion that it's popular that people are anxious to get in the club. And what they'll do is make half the votes seem legit. Because, hey, there were so many people at the polls, our candidate got 40 million votes. And then the other 40 million we'll take care of with ballots. Let's talk tech investing. So Netflix is in the news for more woke crap, let's call it. They had a high-level employee who celebrated Charlie Kirk's murder because that's how they is. And that's not me jive talking. That's one of this person's pronouns was they. So that's how they is. It'll be interesting to see if it hurts their business because especially – so I've been a longtime follower of the stock and I've strongly considered – selling half my shares and putting the proceeds in Spotify. And now that I've just said that, whether I pull the trigger or not, I'll probably remember October 3rd, 2025 is the date that I said that. And so that's how my brain works. I'll see the result in years, whether I decide to do it or not. But hopefully I make the right call. I've always been encouraged by Netflix shifting their user base from 2080 domestic users to 80-20 domestic users. So they grew the same way that Facebook did in flipping those percentages, starting out with 80% of your customers in the States and then developing a plan to flip those numbers to where most of your revenue is coming from outside the United States. I should say, too, that Netflix has faced this sort of backlash before. I don't know if you remember at the height of the Me Too movement, back when you should believe all women, the future is female, and don't dare criticize a woman, especially if it was someone only pretending to be a woman. but Netflix survived and thrived after that. And the issue at the center of all that was at Netflix, they had what was called a 5-second rule, which wasn't explicitly a rule, but it was something in their training manuals, in their guidelines. They said that you should not make eye contact for more than 5 seconds with someone of the opposite sex or gender, they probably said. So there were like 31 different genders you couldn't make eye contact with, I guess. But can you imagine the horror of being on the receiving end of eye contact for 6 seconds? I mean, how could you go on with your day after that? And how would you even enforce that rule? Like if somebody looks away at 4 seconds, they'd be doing the other person a solid, right? It keeps the – presumably the other person looked at you first and you would be keeping them from a meeting with HR if you could look away at 4 seconds. What a crazy thing. I mean, it takes two to tango. And I know lefties don't think this way, but either party could look away at any time. And I say leftists don't think that way because in this circumstance, you're not supposed to – which commies never do. You're not supposed to account for one's agency. Why account for one's agency when you could just give them the victim status and they need everybody to be a victim who can be saved, right, by them. So in the meeting, it'd be like Mrs. HR or probably Miss HR, right? I counted 6.5 seconds. Our eyes were locked. Okay, well, you could have looked away and saved us this 20-minute meeting. No, I felt compelled to stare back at this toxic male. Okay, but you have agency in that. HR wouldn't say that, I'm sure. I'm sure that person would be reprimanded. Agency is one of those words they're not familiar with. It's right up there with forgiveness or fascist, per capita, and many other terms that are just really hard to grasp, evidently. I saw where Elon Musk tweeted to his 227 million followers on X. He said two words, cancel Netflix. And that sort of message is going viral right now. I had a buddy send me a text yesterday who knows I've had Netflix stock for a while, and he said, never bet against Elon. So it's tough. It's tough holding on to their stock, or I'm a subscriber too on Netflix, and I have been for a long time. Not as long as Spotify, actually, but probably 8, 9, 10 years. I don't know. But as you know, it's a good idea to hold your winners and sell your losers. But Netflix is engaging in loser behavior, so what do you do then? It's also been revealed that every dollar donated by the high-ups at Netflix was donated to commie causes. And Susan Rice is on their board. I've talked about Susan Rice before, how she's a bad liar because her face betrays her true feelings all the time. I was at a baseball game in D.C. Shortly after she went on all the talk shows and lied to everybody about Benghazi. She was there to throw out the first pitch, and it felt like the whole one movie, two screens, or two movies on one screen thing, because I felt like I was in a different world, because I was thinking, surely she's going to get booed for shamelessly lying to us over and over again. That's not what happened. This was in DC, and they cheered loudly, and she waved to him like she was queen of the ball. And I, of course, I thought, wow, people here don't mind being lied to. They're on her team. And all that matters is winning. And when I talk about Team Blue, that half the country, well, we know it's not half the country now. It's probably a third. But we know that a third of the country, they're on a team. And what that means is that the truth doesn't matter, which sounds crazy to a truth seeker. Let's call it your common sense modern day conservative. It sounds crazy. But if you think of it in terms of teams, it'll make more sense. So imagine you're at the plate. I'm talking baseball here. You're at the plate, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, two outs, the count is full, the game is tied. And you get a pitch that maybe caught the white of the plate, the size of the whites on your fingernail. That's how close it was. And since the ball was coming at 90 miles an hour, nobody really knows for sure. But it may have caught a sliver of the outside corner. As a hitter, no hitter would ever be like, yeah, Blue, that caught the corner. I'll take the L and walk back to the dugout with my head down and my junk tucked. No hitter would ever do that. He wants the call. He doesn't care about the truth. He wants to win. Well, that's team play. You don't care about the truth. You want your team to win. Well, that's politics for communists. you take that pitch for ball four, you take first and the winning run scores. But the umpire, who we call Blue, by the way, maybe semi-simulation evidence, since Blues are the bottom of the food chain, the umpire calls the pitch strike three. What are you going to do? So wild times in America. Right now, negotiations are taking place to try to get the commies to obey the law. And it's become a meme war. Like, please obey the law. We're going to meme you to death. Which, since great memes require a sense of humor, the Blue team is not going to be able to compete. But let's stay in the tech world. Tesla stock, which we've talked about a lot on this podcast, is on a tear. It was demonstrated this week that a Tesla Cybertruck will beat a Porsche 911 in a quarter-mile race, while the Tesla truck is towing a Porsche 911. How about that? And Musk said that what that means is a Cybertruck can carry a Porsche 911 faster than a 911 can carry itself. Also, since I keep mentioning fruit, remember the guy who nearly became the vice president? The governor of Minnesota. It wasn't long ago that he publicly celebrated many of his state citizens with pensions losing a considerable amount of their wealth in retirement. He was rooting for Tesla stock to go down because he's stupid. And Tesla is up, since he said that, right at about 100% since that day. But commie's gonna commie. There's probably no hotter stock right now than Robinhood. It is up 229%. 229, yeah, 229% since it's been included in the S&P 500. They have successfully diversified their revenue streams. They do community trading. They have those features. They have wealth management tools. So they're making money, especially with the younger generation. And the first and only time I've ever seen the Robinhood app, it was during COVID, and I was speaking at the business school of my alma mater, and I talked a little bit about investing in my talk, and one of the students came up afterward and wanted to show me his individual stocks. And when he showed me the app, it looked like a slot machine at a casino or something, with all these whistles and bells and balloons, fireworks going off, and I could see the reason why all these young people are so attracted to the app. But if I remember right, I probably encouraged him to take his investing, if that's what you could call it, and put everything on Vanguard, or put it in open a Vanguard or a Schwab account and start thinking long term. There's a meme war going on
and it's about the government shutdown that occurred on October 1st. And Trump, again, is proving himself to be the ultimate troll, and both sides, as usual, blame the other. According to Democrats, Republicans want health insurance premiums to go up and people to die, especially women and children, presumably. And according to Republicans, Democrats want to give our taxpayer dollars to illegal aliens so they can have health care. Right, who is full of it? Both sides. Republicans don't like killing people, as evidenced by their stopping half a dozen wars and closing the border so more rapists and murderers can't get to us. Stopping murders from happening in D.C., crime is way down there, and Republicans have never celebrated anybody's death, which is more than can be said for the Dem side. We witnessed many of them cheering the assassination of Charlie Kirk, wishing Trump were dead, you know, that kind of thing. Probably Musk, they'd be in favor, at least half of them would be in favor of Trump and Musk being killed. As for whether Republicans are lying, yeah, sort of. I mean, there wouldn't be direct payments made to illegal aliens so that they can see a doctor, but federal dollars would go to a state run by Democrats for health care, which then enables them to move state government money to fund health care for illegals. Money is fungible that way. The most prominent example of this in recent years was the debate over whether we should be sending our tax money to Ukraine. We give Ukraine $1 billion. And, well, by the way, Ukraine was acknowledged to be the most corrupt country in Europe when all of our provocations started. So we send billions of dollars to Ukraine, which then frees up the Ukrainians' money to continue corruption. You ever have anybody owe you money and then you see them post pictures of their vacation on social media? That's fungibility. That's what money being fungible means. You just use it elsewhere once you get more, or the money you should spend to pay your debt to this person who so generously loaned you money, you are using that money instead to go on vacation. So fungibility just means interchangeable. But what Republicans have done is force the three-letter network actresses to see if what Dems are shooting for is actually government-funded free health care to millions of people who crossed the southern border over the past few years. And no, they won't agree to a clean CR. That's what the Speaker of the House said, that they proposed that. The Dems denied it. So Dems don't want to disenfranchise the voters they imported. And there's a clip right now going around the interwebs of the 2019 Democrat primary, the debate, where each of the candidates is asked to raise their hands if non-citizens should receive free health care. And they all raise their hand. So videos keep coming back to haunt them, but it doesn't. Videos of what you said in the past don't really have an impact if you are shameless, if you don't experience shame or hypocrisy or anything like that. Did you see Trump trolling him yesterday with saying that Project 2025 guy is coming to see him to tell him which programs could be cut because of the shutdown? Well, guess what? That guy, Russ Vogt, I don't know how to say his name. Guess what he wants to end? Racist programs. He wants to help eradicate racism. Eracism. Probably has a bumper sticker. Which is not good for the communist side, of course, because it doesn't aid their attempt to divide. You know, it hurts them, their ability to divide people. But yeah, there's a big program in Chicago that the local government runs there that is racist. So I like the approach that Trump is taking on this. If the government's got to be shut down, at a minimum, cut programs that fuel hate and division, which is what racist programs do for us, and we don't want that. So Trump said his goal was to get rid of the rot, and what's more rotten than racism? I do believe part of the reason Trump had to be so villainized is because historically the Dems could call any Republican racist, whether it be George W. Bush, or who said, they said he hates black people, or Mitt Romney. They tried to paint him as a racist and a misogynist with a binder full of women. Remember that? Well, Trump, they knew, wasn't racist. The label wasn't going to stick, and it's not even like Trump to defend himself on an accusation like that. It's like if I called you a pedophile, you'd just be like, well, I'm not that, so I'm not going to defend myself and prove to you that I'm not a pedophile. He's not going to say, wait, I've got so many black friends. So they could say, oh, just because you have black people in your life who you love like a brother, that doesn't mean you're not racist. Yeah, Trump doesn't do that. He doesn't defend himself that way. He just doesn't care what you think because he knows the other side's nuts and have been trying to apply the racist label to everyone who's run as a Republican in my lifetime. But it's funny, the left doesn't know when it's being trolled. Those memes were God-tier trolling because you could predict that your idiot leftist Facebook friend, if you still have any, they were going to post Trump saying the guy from Project 2025 was going to help him. So they could say, see, I told you Trump knew all about Project 2025. I genuinely did not hear of Project 2025 until my leftist Facebook friend started posting about it. So they were assigned their opinion and then they started posting about it. They don't dig any further. But Trump is always having, he's obviously having fun with his job. It always seems like he's having a little fun. And it's, I'm sure he's got to feel like at times like he's up against teenage girls because their meme game is so incredibly weak. But what I love is even those batshit crazy women who don't know how the world works, he's still going to do what's in their best interests long term. And I think about that every time I see an awful on social media post awful stuff. I think we're going to protect you and your loved ones too, because you obviously don't know what's good for you. You can't see the big picture. You live by your emotions and don't understand the concept of this is going to hurt for a little bit, but long term it will benefit you. And they can't see that. But it's not your job to help them see it. It's they're not going to see it. They should be nurturing babies and taking care of the next generation instead of proving to us every time there's news going on in the best movie ever, they prove that they don't know how anything works, which is why I've said, referring to Trump getting elected last year, I described it as daddy coming home. Why did I say that? Because daddy's not going to put up with bullshit. He's going to do what's right to get the house in order. He knows you think he's racist. He doesn't care. He knows you think he's in it for himself, as if he could somehow serve us well as president and not benefit himself. How would that work? And this kind of ties in. I don't know if you saw, but Wikipedia looks like it'll be usurped by Grokopedia. So it turns out Wikipedia all these years would only allow leftist sources. So that's why it's always seemed so biased. They kept a blacklist of sources who couldn't be trusted. Let me read to you from Yahoo News. They titled their article, MAGA Melts Down Over Wikipedia Blacklist. So you can trust them as a source, right? With a title like that? I'm sure they would have said, leftists melt down over something. Yeah, because that's something they say. But here it reads, I'll read it to you. But while the approved list checks out, Wikipedia's treatment of other outlets is more complicated. Of those cited by Sanger, he's one of the co-founders, only Breitbart News is formally blacklisted, with edits citing it automatically blocked. The New York Post and The Federalist are flagged as questionable sources and allowed in limited cases, while The Daily Caller and Epoch Times are marked deprecated and considered generally unreliable, though they can be cited for uncontroversial self-descriptions. Wikipedia appears undecided about Fox News, labeling its general news coverage as marginally reliable, while deeming its politics, science, and talk shows generally unreliable. So how about that? The New York Times and Washington Post approve sources of truth. The New York Post, not so. The Federalist, not so. They think Molly Hemingway is a liar, evidently. So yeah, Elon's going to start Grokopedia, as Elon is someone who prefers the truth over being lied to, which may be what, that might be the ultimate divide in America, truth seekers versus consensus seekers. There are many people out there who don't care about the truth. Many people want performative theater. They want the play acting to continue. The kid who finds out pro wrestling is fake doesn't then stop watching wrestling. No, he wants more. He might even go to a live event. Remember, I told you last week, those with higher testosterone tend to do what is right versus those with low T who tend to do what they think others will think is right. They're more consensus-seeking in that way, and truth often gets in the way of these utopian visions. And they like to say something like, it's not who we are, and other empty platitudes. That's their thing. Pete Hegseth, the head of our Department of War, held a meeting where our top military leaders flew into D.C., and he talked about generals being fat and out of shape, or not being able to pass a physical test, which is his way of saying, it's not who we are. But I'd like to think he's right. How can you claim to have the strongest, most powerful military in the history of the world, not to mention the most well-funded, and have it led by a bunch of weak men and trannies? That makes no sense. Anyone see the hearing for Charlie Kirk's killer? Is it possible the judge is a deep state plant? I'm not accusing. I say that because he appeared to have a little sugar in his tank, let's say. And then the heavyset defense attorney seemed giddy for some reason. Of course, it's in her interest, the defense attorney's interest, to delay proceedings as much as possible. Why? Because the judge is a fruitcake. No, that's not, I'm kidding. That's not why. It's because the more delays, the more people in the public get worn down with the process, and the less they'll clamor for this guy's head. So those who are rightly pissed off, like you and me, we have to stay vigilant in demanding justice for this furry fella who allegedly shot Charlie Kirk. One thing I thought was uncalled for that he said, the judge I'm talking about, which I'm sure both sides of the political aisle say this, but I hear it more from one side than the other, but the whole let me be clear thing, it's almost a guarantee the next thing out of that person's mouth will be a lie or not be true. No different from last week's episode where I said, don't trust the guy who says, trust me, bro. Well, one thing the judge said was, I will not put my thumb on the scale of justice. That concerns me a little bit because you're a judge. I mean, shouldn't that go without saying? It'd be like a blue-haired barista standing at the coffee machine behind the counter at Starbucks, and she picks up her head from making your tall flat white and says, I'm here to make your coffee. Yeah, I know, boo. Or maybe a doctor, let's say, would walk in and introduce himself and say, I will do no harm to you. Okay, good. Yeah, I feel better now. Thanks for saying that. You're not going to put your thumb on the scale of justice. What else is going on in the world before we wrap here? A peace deal Trump offered to end the war in Gaza, something they say they've wanted for 2 years now, and they turned it down. They said no. I think they have until tomorrow to act on it. That would be Saturday. Or Trump said it's going to be a very sad situation, which if you think about this from the Palestinian perspective, I'm not even sure how they'd hold it together if a peace deal were reached. I don't even know how they would continue to exist, because their identity is hatred of the evil Zionists, quote unquote, who must die, Israel must be wiped off the map, is what they believe. So if that sounds familiar to my American listeners, it's because we have something similar going on in America. One party is fueled by hatred and opposition to any solutions to our problems that Trump puts forward. But the Palestinians are setting major precedents, because I don't believe there's ever been a group of people in the history of the world, as far as I know, any group of humans who believed that they were victims of a genocide and then were made an offer to end the genocide but refused. How does that work? Setting precedents. And speaking of war and peace, did you see the new Pope taking part in a climate change thing? He blessed a block of ice or something. Somebody posted and said, Catholics are accused of being racist, but many a Catholic would prefer a North African black pope who was based than some frou-frou who is trying to save the climate from changing. I'm running out of time here. Let's end on a positive note, maybe a Gerwinder. Let's see. Or at least something thought-provoking. Gerwinder provides that. I'll share something with you that he posted, which is a quote from Charles Bukowski. It reads, people are strange. They are constantly angered by trivial things, but on a major matter, like totally wasting their lives, they hardly seem to notice. Actually, Morgan Housel posted that quote first. And Morgan Housel, by the way, has a new book coming out in a few days, and I'll be buying it, and I'll buy a few for friends or clients or whoever wants it, because I really I'm such a big proponent of reading books, and I really liked his first book, The Psychology of Money, and I think Same as Ever, which was his second book. I think it was just as good, if not better. So I tell you what, since I'm feeling generous, if you leave a review on Apple or Spotify in the next week, I will send you a copy of Housel's new book. How about that? That's all I've got for you today. If you enjoyed this episode, please copy the link and share it with a friend. Y'all know where to find me if you need me. Thank you for listening, and God bless y'all.